At least 4 people have died in violent confrontations in Sucre, Bolivia, where the framework for a new constitution was approved on Saturday. Although each article has yet to be included, if approved, the new constitution will radically alter the future of Bolivia's political system. Once the final changes are proposed, voters will determine if a new constitution will be set in place through a referendum. President Evo Morales, an indigenous Aymara and former Coca union leader, had long advocated for a constitutional assembly. The majority of delegates to the assembly belong to Morales's party, MAS, or Movement Towards Socialism, and have gathered in Sucre to hammer out the new constitution. After a months-long impasse, the framework was finally approved this weekend, although nearly all of the opposition delegates are boycotting the meeting. Meanwhile, opposition protesters have clashed with police, throwing rocks, dynamite, and Molotov cocktails in a last-ditch attempt to stop the assembly from carrying out its work, which is due by December 14th. Joining me on the line, live from Cochabamba, Bolivia, is Ben Dangle. He is the author of The Price of Fire, Resource Wars and Social Movements in Bolivia. Welcome to Uprising, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks very much for joining us. First, let's talk about the latest situation. As I mentioned, we have the Constitutional Assembly meeting in Sucre, and I understand flights to and from that region have been stopped because of the violence. What is the latest in the violence? I understand 4 people have now been killed?
Right, at least 4 people have been killed, 1 policeman, 3 protesters, and the police and military have been asked to leave Sucre, so now the situation in the city is less tense than it was over the past weekend, although it's hard to say how protests will continue and if violence will erupt again in the coming days. Various police stations were destroyed, and a jail was... people were freed from jail in Sucre, and the situation there is very chaotic, but hopefully it'll be improving in the coming days.
Let's talk specifically about the Constitution and this process that Morales is leading to rewrite the Bolivian Constitution. I understand that basically those articles that are not approved by 2/3 of the Constitutional Assembly will then go to a referendum. Is that accurate?
Right. And if the final constitution is approved by MAS by December 14th, that constitution will go to a referendum. It's hard to say if the final constitution will be approved by then. As I mentioned, the situation is very out of control right now, and a lot depends on how the opposition responds to the MAS's actions in the assembly and whether or not violence continues in the area.
So if the new constitution is to be adopted by referendum, then this is a democratic process, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's a democratic process, and the MAS, Movement Towards Socialism, Evo Morales' party, has a huge mandate now to do what they're doing in the constitution. Evo Morales won with a landslide victory of 54% December 2005, and he's since moved ahead with a lot of various land reforms, partial nationalization of gas, legalization of coca production, and one of the major demands over the previous years has been the creation of this new constitution. So if it passes with the MAS's approval, it will be a kind of victory for the government. However, the changes that were made recently were done without the participation of opposition political parties.
Because they're boycotting.
Right. They're boycotting because of the way in which the MAS has organized the assembly, and also because the assembly was moved from a theater in the center of Sucre to a military college in Sucre, and many people understandably view this as a kind of lack of democratic process, and people were boycotting it, and protests were hitting the streets, not only among people in the opposition, but among students who were demanding that the capital of Bolivia be moved to Sucre, and that various provinces in Bolivia gain more autonomy, and that the Movement Towards Socialism assembly members leave Sucre.
Now, Ben, if you read the U.S. press, the main issue that stands out in the new constitution is Morales wanting to ensure unlimited numbers of terms as presidents, and other issues are not really being emphasized. One issue that Bolivia has long been struggling with has been the desire of residents of Santa Cruz to want to become autonomous. How is that being developed in the constitution, and what are some other main issues that are relevant for us to pay attention to?
The issue of autonomy is a very important issue. It's been a point of contention throughout the Morales administration. The Santa Cruz groups, the right-wing political parties in Santa Cruz and civic committees in Santa Cruz, are pushing for greater autonomy of their province as well as other regions in Bolivia to decentralize the government of Bolivia, and that's up for discussion in the assembly. And it's set to, after this, say this constitution is approved, these provinces will be granted more autonomy. But it's still under discussion about how much autonomy they will be given and how the redistribution of profits from the gas industry will be affected. Other major issues that are up for discussion are autonomy of indigenous groups outside of this provincial autonomy, as well as greater rights for indigenous groups, redistribution of wealth from the gas industry, redistribution of land, and a lot of the major issues that have been pushed by the Morales administration. So a lot really depends on how this constitution goes, and Sucre has become a battlefield between the right and the left. The right, on the one hand, which has been disenfranchised to some extent by the Morales administration, has a lot to lose in this new constitution. And, in my opinion, this also has a lot to do with a lot of racism in Santa Cruz and in Sucre against the indigenous majority. And what we're seeing now in Sucre is just a recent eruption of this racism and regional tension.
I'm speaking with Ben Dangle, author of The Price of Fire, Resource Wars and Social Movements in Bolivia. He joins us live from Cochabamba. Ben, let's talk about some of the contextual aspects of this issue, which is the desire for some to move the capital from La Paz to Sucre, as you mentioned. What is behind this desire among some Bolivians, and what political repercussions could it have if it were to happen? Also, what stand does the Morales government take on this issue?
The stance of the Morales government is that the capital shouldn't be moved from La Paz. La Paz is currently the capital of Bolivia, has been. And the issue is very symbolic. It has a lot to do with regional power. Sucre is part of, I guess you'd say, the opposition groups in Bolivia. The province of Chuquisaca, where Sucre is, the prefects and political parties from this area are in opposition to Morales. So a move to Sucre would be a kind of political loss for the MAS government and a gain for the political right. It also has to do with, in my opinion, a message in which the right has been able to politicize this capital issue, to create more tensions, to create more conflict, and to divert attention from the real fundamental issues in Bolivia. The capital issue is more of a symbolic issue, whereas issues of indigenous rights, redistribution of land, redistribution of gas, wealth, those are really the issues that are going to affect the majority of Bolivians. And the issue of the capital is just a distraction and one of many that the right has tried to put on the table in the Constitution to break the momentum, stop the momentum of the rewriting of the new Constitution.
Now, you mentioned that Morales' party and Morales himself has quite a mandate right now in Bolivia, but how has this latest political situation with the constitution and the violence surrounding it, has that had any effect on Morales' stability as president?
It's definitely had an effect on his stability, and the issues, the conflicts going on in Sucre over the past months, have definitely had an impact on the stability of his government and where their energies are directed. The right-wing political parties and opposition committee groups will definitely take the violence in Sucre and run with it as a political tool and use that against the MAS. As far as how much his base has been disenchanted, it's really hard to say at this point, but I would say that throughout 2006, while I was working here, the vast majority of the people that I spoke with were very hopeful for the new government. And now in 2007, particularly with the conflicts in the Constitution, a lot of that hope has dissipated, and also a lot of the various gains of the Morales administration from last year are kind of unraveling, particularly in the Constitutional Assembly. And this has to do with management of political forces, but also with the way in which the right is fighting against Morales and trying to impede any kind of advances.
How could the Morales government have carried out this constitutional reform better? What are some of the problems with this constitutional assembly process, aside from moving the meeting to a military garrison?
The demand to rewrite the Constitution has been one that's been present in protest movements and indigenous movements for decades now. Bolivia's had 16 or 17 constitutions over the years. The problem hasn't been rewriting the Constitution. It's been applying the things that are in these various constitutions. So when Evo was elected, one of his major platforms was rewriting the Constitution. And when he convened an election and organized the assembly to rewrite the Constitution, he made a number of mistakes. The first one was creating an assembly in which only members of traditional political parties could participate. There wasn't a route for direct participation among social organizations, campesino movements, indigenous movements, to directly participate without political representation within existing political parties. And in political parties in Bolivia have always been in gridlocks and political infights. So those traditional fights and gridlocks were brought into the assembly, and that organization of the assembly created this scenario where the movements that helped put Evo in power, or at least paved the way to his presidency, were not permitted to participate directly. And I think that kind of gave more power to the right wing in the first place and contributed to the kind of political tension that have erupted recently in Sucre.
At this point, what can Morales do to appease his base, if you will, at least those parts of his base that have been disenchanted by some of these mistakes?
Well, right now there are mobilizations across the country in Sucre and La Paz. Here in Cochabamba, in the main plaza, there's thousands of MAS supporters marching in support of the Constitutional Assembly and the MAS developments. And at the same time, there are counter-protests against the MAS, led by, for example, the prefect, Manfred Reyes, here in Cochabamba, and other people against the MAS. And they're mobilizing people in the assembly, but also the MAS is mobilizing people in the streets. So in Bolivia, political power is largely wielded in the streets, and the government is trying to use that momentum. How Evo Morales reaches out to the political opposition is another problem. The tensions are so high right now, and after these tragic deaths in Sucre, the divide between the right and the left is only increasing, and any kind of compromise will be hard to reach. However, Morales and Vice President Garcia Linera are optimistic, and other MAS members are optimistic, that they can push forward with this new constitution, whether or not the political opposition is in the assembly or not, and then move forward after the December 14th deadline with a referendum on this new constitution and move forward. But at this point, those kind of developments are very much at risk.
Now, the deadline of December 14th has been set to come up with the new constitution, but the referendum date, I understand, has not yet been set. Any ideas about that? And also, do you expect the violence to escalate as Bolivians head toward that referendum?
I don't know when the referendum would be. I don't know if anybody knows that right now. But the violence is unfortunately probably going to increase unless people the various groups can wait and kind of reach a pause in the violence and not continue to participate in it. However, both groups have kind of taken the bait from each other to continue fighting in the streets and not reach peaceful compromises in meeting rooms. And I think that's the big challenge now facing facing Bolivia is to take these confrontations in the streets into peaceful meeting areas. But the problem is that both sides are so angry and so everything's so polarized that that violence has continued to erupt throughout the Morales administration. And the right is so entrenched and the left is so entrenched that the likelihood that the violence will increase is pretty... It's very possible that it will continue.
What about the role of the military in Bolivia?
Well, the Evo Morales administration is close to the military, and that's been a strategic tool of theirs to maintain power and sustain their power over the past almost 2 years now that they've been in office, and that's represented by the fact that they did move the assembly to a military college in Sucre, and they have the military on their side, and Morales has bowed down, you know, prostrated himself to a certain extent to the military in order to maintain this close relationship, which could be the difference between the MAS maintaining power as the right increases, you know, resistance and fighting against the government. And they also have the backing of the police in various cities. However, the regional tensions are exacerbated by the fact that many of the prefects of different provinces and mayors are members of opposition parties, and that that translates over into the local police. So, in large part, the military is on the MAS's side.
Finally, Ben, the Associated Press, reflecting what much of the U.S. press has been saying, I quote, said, Morales's political playbook has followed closely that of his ally, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, and certainly constitutional reform has been a very, very prominent part of Chavez's tenure as well. How do these two presidents compare, and is it clear that Morales is taking direct advice from Chavez or trying to follow in his path?
Both countries have used the Constitution as a way to reorganize political power, and Venezuela has definitely done that, and Bolivia is doing that also, but it doesn't have to do with exactly following what Venezuela has done. As I mentioned, the demand to rewrite the Constitution has been a recurring one over recent decades, so it's a very grassroots demand, and Evo is very much following the demand of his base. There are very, very close relations between Chavez and Evo Morales, and there are advisors working in Bolivia, technical advisors, constitutional advisors, and various spaces that used to be filled by U.S. officials are now filled by Venezuelan officials. So over the years, with previous right-wing presidents, the U.S. had a bigger presence, but now it's really Venezuela that's pushing a lot of the weight and also providing a lot of economic and political help, whereas the government would go previously to, say, international lending institutions, they can go to Venezuela for financial help. And this is definitely helping with a lot of the socialistic plans of the government in the sense that this lended money doesn't have the same kind of neoliberal strings attached as, say, previous money lent by the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund. And this close relationship, which many of Morales' base think is healthy because of the similarities in their political vision, this relationship is being used by the right as a tool against the Morales administration. So the right will say, not only is the MAS undemocratic and holding an assembly in a military college, but also he's just doing everything Chavez and Fidel tell him to do. And I think that there is some truth in that, but it's also a much more collaborative and mutually supportive and understanding relationship than, say, the U.S. government and previous presidents here in Bolivia with the war on drugs, military relationships, and... But like I said, this relationship is viewed as a healthy thing throughout most of the MAS base.
Well, on that note, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today, Ben Dangle.
Thanks a lot.
Ben Dangle is author of The Price of Fire, Resource Wars and Social Movements in Bolivia, published this year by AK Press. He joined us live from Cochabamba in Bolivia, and we've been discussing some of the recent days of violence in Bolivia as a result of discussions over a new constitution.